Now, brethren, I'm going to share something with you today that I have mentioned in many of my messages. I've mentioned it, but I have not really bothered to show you in the Bible where it comes from and, you know, where it says we should be doing this. What I'm talking about is the principle of looking for God's hand in our life and then sharing what we see with others. Recently, while I was looking through some old Bible study notes, I found a Bible study that I had done some 25 years ago. Actually, I did it in response to a question I was asked by someone who was going through a very severe trial at the time. And the question was this: what do you do when God doesn't seem real, when he just doesn't seem to answer your prayers? Well, brethren, we understand, as I've covered in the last couple of messages, that God is always with us, guiding and helping us, and that Christ promises to never forsake us or abandon us. And yet, there are times in every Christian's life when it may feel that God is not real enough to us. I'm not talking about doubting God's existence, but rather those times when he seems to be far off and not involved, those times when our prayers and our needs seem to be going ignored. And sadly, this kind of discouragement happens to all of us from time to time. And that's because Satan is constantly trying to get us to focus on our problems rather than on God's promises. He wants us to feel helpless, to feel sorry for ourselves. He wants us to focus on how unfair we are being treated. And there's an endless list of ways that he does this, the ways that he attacks our weaknesses. But they're all designed to make us doubt God's reality and his close involvement in our lives. So, how do we overcome that feeling that God isn't close to us or helping us when the trials or the discouragement just seem to be overwhelming us? Well, when I was asked that question 25 years ago, it occurred to me that if God doesn't seem real or involved in our lives, we need to go looking for him. And that prompted a study that led to examples of people who did just that. People like David, Elijah, Jeremiah. It also showed me scriptures that not only tell us that we should seek God, but how to seek God. And that's what I want to share with you today. Let's start by going to Psalm 27. And look at something that David says there. Psalm 27. Go back and forth enough times, and eventually you find it. Psalm 27. In this psalm, the first part of it, David remembers how God has promised to help him. And, you know, David looks forward to being in God's kingdom. And those are things that, you know, we are often reminded of, that we should be focusing on our lives as well. But then in verse 7, his mood changes. In verse 7, he says, "Hear, O God, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, eternal, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. You know, David is in deep distress here. He's not just thinking these thoughts, he's crying out, pleading for help. He says that when God called him, he tried to follow and do what God required of him. Today, we might say something like, Father, I'm trying to do what is right. I'm trying to be a good Christian. In verse 9, David clearly shows his distress. Today, we might say, Oh God, where are you? Please don't ignore my prayers. I need help. I need answers now. Why are these things happening to me? The point of this passage, brethren, is that all of us, even people like David, who know that God exists and that he cares for us, can still have times when we may ask, why does it feel like God is not near to me? Why is he not answering our prayers? It can make us wonder if God is upset with us and is refusing to help us. Well, the rest of Psalm 27 turns positive, and David reminds us that we must seek God and then wait on him. He does not, however, give us any specifics on how to seek God. So let's look at some verses where David does do that. And that's in Psalm 105. Start in verse 1. 105, verses 1 to 5, we're going to look at. David says, Oh, give thanks to the Eternal. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Eternal. Seek the Eternal in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Seek the Eternal. Seek his face. Remember his marvelous works. That's where I focused on this passage from 25 years ago, on seeking him through the marvelous works, excuse me, of his creation and all that it shows us of his strength and all that he has done in the past. But you know, understanding God's greatness does not always help us a lot when we can't feel his closeness. Actually, though, we are told much in these verses. When God says that we are to seek his face evermore, he's telling us that we must seek him constantly so that we can be face to face with him. That is a close relationship. He wants him to seek him so that we don't have to come to him in a way that says, Is there anybody up there? Hello? We need some help down here. Nor does he want us to seek him in an attitude that might be described as crawling on our hands and our knees, tugging lightly at the back of his robe and saying, God, I know that you're very busy with all that you've got to do, but if you don't mind, I'd like a little help. No, God wants us to seek his face. He wants us to feel that we can come to him face to face and speak to him like Abraham did, like David and Elijah did. Respectfully, yes, but face to face, like somebody we know well, like a good friend. And frankly, brethren, I suspect that most of us wish that we felt that way a lot more than we do. So again, how do we do that? Let's go back to verses 1 and 2, because they tell us at least three ways to seek God and to come face to face with Him. In verse 1, it says, "O give thanks to the Eternal, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples, and sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, talk of all His wondrous works." You know, those are the verses that are the basis of my frequent comments about looking for God's hand in our lives and then sharing what we see. Let's just go back and do a quick review of what those verses say, point by point. Give thanks. You know, thanks for who God is and what He has created and what He is creating. And that means that we have to study and to think about who He is and His plan for humanity, and even more so, about His plan for each of us as an individual. You know, we have to understand that we actually may see very little of either of those, really, but we can understand some, and that should excite us. Perhaps more importantly, we give thanks for the things that we see Him do in our lives. You know, and when we try to do that at first, it may be very difficult. We may see very little. But the more we look and thank Him, the more we will see. Second point, call upon His name. Pray to Him. Ask for His help openly, honestly, and in detail. And then we have to do like David said and wait patiently for His answer. And it often comes when we're not expecting and in ways we could have never imagined. Third point, make known His deeds among the people. You know, talk of it. Be willing to share with others, especially those who are close to you, even the smallest things that you realize that He has done in your life. For example, in this, you know, last week, on the way to services, as we were coming up Parker Road, a thought just popped into my head, and it said, "Watch out for the deer." Half a mile later, a young deer suddenly appeared in the middle of the road and stumbled. But thankfully, because of the warning, I'd slowed down just enough to be able to miss the deer without having to slam on the brakes or swerve the car. I just went around it. And we thank God for that. You know, it's a small thing. But we had prayed when we asked blessing over our food in the morning that God would also protect us as we were traveling to church, and that He would protect all the brethren. And He answers even those little prayers. The more that we are willing to recognize the little helps, you know, like that, like a little warning, and then willingly talk about them with other people, the more we will see them. At least that's been my experience, you know, over the last, I don't know how many years. And it's why I tend to mention doing it so often when I speak from up here and when I speak one-on-one with people. There are a number of other things I could mention that happened this past week in the same way, but Mr. Phelps wants to talk today. You know, there are other verses that teach us this same lesson. And one of my favorites is where Jeremiah does what David says in these verses. It's in Lamentations chapter 3, which is actually a pretty depressing chapter, because Jeremiah is watching Jerusalem be overrun by, you know, the armies of Babylon. And they're killing people, enslaving people. People that he has known and tried to help all his life. People he tried to save from the very events that he is now watching. And this was obviously a very low point in his life. Obviously, very depressing. Because in verse 8, he says this: "Even when I cry and I shout, he," meaning God, "shuts out my prayer." Jeremiah did not think God was listening to his prayers. But then he realized something. If we go down to verses 21, 22, these are some of my many favorite verses. Jeremiah says, "This I recall to mind. Therefore I have hope through the Lord's," the Eternal's, "mercies. We are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Remember, he sees this while watching his nation be destroyed. When he took time to stop and to think about what was happening in his life and in the world around him, he could see that God was there every day. Not just there, but involved, showing mercy, even though it looked like specific prayers were not being answered. And he shared that with us. And God, you know, still shares it. It's why he recorded it in this book. And you know, it's the same in our lives. And that's why I wanted to share those verses with you that encourage us to look for God's hand in our lives and then to share what we see, to share those little mercies. It's especially important, brethren, when we are in those times when we just don't feel the closeness to God that we want to. It may not seem like a deep spiritual subject, but it's very important. Very important as we struggle with the many ways that Satan tries to convince us that God doesn't really care about us personally. The more we look and thank God and then share what we see, the more it will encourage us and those with whom we share it. You know, our Father and Christ are always with us, and great is their faithfulness. Even when our vision is limited by sorrow or doubt, but we must be looking for it, and we must share it.